again, and welcome to 4Play Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. 4Play is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Each episode, we cover an aspect of sex that impacts your sex life and something that you can relate to. So if you find our discussions helpful, please give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. We would love it if you would tell a friend about us. You can find us also on the web at 4playrst.com. And if you have a comment or a topic that you'd like us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. Please send them to us at info@4playrst.com. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic.
So, Adam.
Lori.
You're sick and I'm sick.
Yeah, we're not feeling great this morning, are we?
I know.
But the show must go on.
The show must go on.
So if you're listening out there, like, we're trudging through.
I know. I spent time in my bed this weekend just trying to recover.
Did
hey,
you?
Hey, when you're in bed, do you or your wife steal the covers?
She would say that I do. I would say that she does. This is an ongoing discussion. She also wants much less covers than I do. We're a little stereotypically reversed in this area. I get really cold and she gets really hot. So
why does she steal the covers if she's always hot?
Well, because she says I take all of them.
I see.
And I tend to roll when I sleep. So I'm not very still. She stays perfectly still the whole time she's asleep. But I change positions about every 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So I'm not a very peaceful sleeper.
We sleep on like a mountain of pillows. I mean, literally, we have probably 12 to 14 pillows on our bed.
Now, do you build a pillow like wall around yourself?
No, it's a wall behind me.
I see. I see. So my wife builds a pillow wall. It's a leftover from when she was pregnant. There's a barrier of pillows.
Like, you have to climb over the pillows to get to her.
That's right. That's right.
So what do you think the perfect way to sleep is? I mean, she's probably trying to get comfortable, which I have to have a pillow between my knees. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, she converted me to that.
Yeah, like, that's comfortable.
Now that's again, like, she had one of those when she, every time she was pregnant, she had one of those huge body pillows.
Yeah. I've never had one of those. I should get one of those.
They're apparently really comfortable. She had one of those for a while. And so we have this pillows we sleep with, and then the pillows that for some reason are just decorative are just there for our eyes, I guess. I don't know anybody else that's going to be looking at these pillows, but then you have to remove all those pillows every time because we have to put them back on the bed.
I hear men traditionally hate that, having to take the decorative pillows off at night and then put them back on in the
morning. I just don't see the purpose of them.
But
I also don't see the purpose of making my bed, but she does. I would just leave it.
I just don't have the time to make my bed. that's my excuse.
So you just leave it.
Actually, my husband makes the bed.
Ah, I see. Yeah, no, I would just leave it. I would just leave it every single night. But she makes it and puts those pillows back on, and then we take them back off. And in between the time,
Adam, if we lived together. Right. We would be total slobs.
That's right. Well, I just not have them. I
did give up the top sheet.
Did
like,
you?
You know, I used to, you know, you make a bed with two sheets, but I realized the top sheet always felt confining, so I just needed the quilt,
I see.
You know, the feather quilt. And so eventually I'm like, why are we doing this? I just scooch it down to the bottom every single night. I only want the quilt on me.
I see. I have to have that sheet in between us, in between the me
the
and
covers.
The covers, right? Because the covers never fill.
Right.
I don't know. Right, yeah. That's a good word for it. Yeah. It doesn't feel right.
I understand. I have to have the heated mattress pad underneath me.
Oh, wow. That's
I mean, it's March, and I'm, like, still cold.
Okay.
Occasionally, I get warm enough by March, but but we have the dual controls, so my husband doesn't have to be heated up.
Fancy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so it doesn't.
Fancy mattress?
The mattress pad is way better than an electric blanket because an electric blanket is, you know, it's kind of like bumpy and it doesn't feel good. It's not cozy around you.
Okay.
So. Why
are we talking about this?
Well, obviously, I was on Instagram and I was noticing that a lot of the popular posts in the marriage group and kind of the genre was all about stealing covers. You know, do you steal your husband's covers? And it just had a million likes. And I'm like, why would that be? And I started to noodle about that and think, you know, what is it saying that that's so charming, right?
There's something. It's a charming thing?
Right. There's two behaviors that we're going to talk about in this podcast. One is charming, one not so much. So stealing the covers is the charming one, and snoring is the not so charming one. Mm-hmm. But I thought, you know, psychologically, when we say, I can steal the covers or I'm stealing your covers, it really means, you know, I can be selfish in bed, you know, and I know that you love me enough, and it's such an intimate place that, you know, it's saying something psychologically about the relationship. You know, I can take from you and I don't have to feel guilty for being selfish. I mean, we rib each other and tease each other. Oh, you stole the covers last night. But by and large, it's like we're really happy somebody's in bed with us.
So it's more you think it's more of a intimate type of language.
Right. It's an intimate joke.
That's not as your sleep habits, your what you do when you're sleeping. Would you put that in the same category of like talking in your sleep or things like that? Like how cold, whose feet are the coldest?
I think putting your cold feet on your partner is sort of the same category. I would definitely say my husband would not say talking in your sleep is in this category because I terrify him with my talk in his sleep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when we were first married, okay, I don't know how helpful this is to our podcast listeners, but when we were first married, I always spoke in my sleep. When I was really little, I walked in my sleep. And apparently one, you know, night after we were first married, I woke up and I had screamed, just bloody murder screamed. And my husband was like, what's that? Oh, my gosh. And he's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. He's like, you just screamed bloody murder. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, my throat kind of feels like that. He's like, you know, I'm like, I guess I'm okay, though. And he goes, well, I'm not. Woken out of this dead sleep, you know, from my screaming. Yeah, I still do weird things. I still see people and all kinds of stuff and wake up with a start and say crazy things. And
my wife hit me on my chest as hard as like she could in her sleep one time, and that completely woke me up. I had no idea. I had no idea what was happening. And then her arm just came down just hard across my chest.
Like a myoclonic jerk or something.
I guess.
Boom.
I don't know. I found it to be charming afterwards.
Yeah, after
I got my bearings on why I was being assaulted in the middle of my sleep.
I think that this is, though, why it's so popular on Instagram is it's like we're saying, you know, your bed is my bed, too. You know, this is our sleepover. And I think there's something really intimate to say something like, hey, it's Sunday and it's raining. Let's go steal some covers. You know, it's like, let's go hop into bed. There's a double entendre there, right? Not just stealing covers from each other, but stealing the covers to get underneath them and be together. And I think that's why people enjoy this so much, this idea.
Yeah, more I like the idea of the mutuality of it.
Like
this is our space together, right? I think what we've talked about a lot, like the bed is for sleeping and for having sex, right? And so it is a joint place that you can come to, and you can have these kind of silly, playful fights that don't really have any heavy consequence to it, but it's about your shared behavior, which I like as well.
Yeah. Although I did read a joke when I was looking about this on the internet, and they said, if you think women are the weaker sex, try pulling the covers back to your side of the bed.
I think this is our patterns of sleep, what we do when we sleep, and like those things are super intimate and super personal, and we're sharing those with somebody else as well. I think this is why, too, like that should be between the couple. Right. And I think when you get kids, like, I don't know what your like thought are about co-sleeping and kids in the bed. I have a lot of friends that are on both sides of this this argument. But I feel like then somebody else is stealing the covers. Right.
Somebody else is stealing the space.
Sometimes literally in between.
Right.
The two of you. And I think that's an interesting thing that you kind of have to talk through and figure out as well.
Yeah. I mean, I was probably pretty practical. I think the first baby I put in the crib, the second baby, the crib next to me, the third baby was next to me, yeah. You know, just because I was nursing and it was just more convenient. But I think it also depends on your sex initiation pattern. Hmm. Like some people, you know, their most comfortable way to initiate sex is they roll over in bed and start to hold and caress each other.
Right.
Whereas I think we always had more of a verbal pattern. So we knew before we were going to bed whether or not we were having sex.
Hmm.
You know, so it never interrupted anything in terms of for us, and which is, I think, an important issue is how do you initiate and how do those things get in the way or not get in the way?
Yeah.
But I think also it's interesting to me as I talk to people, like some people sleep completely curled up in each other all night.
Mm.
I had a girlfriend.
In colors.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend who lost her husband, and she's like, I slept with my head on his chest. I'm like, oh, my God.
It's terribly sad.
You know, so sad.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's an intimacy even in the way we touch and hold at night.
Mm-hmm.
Or if there's a mountain. There is a mountain between my husband and I, but it's because we have one of those squishy mattress pads, you know, and our weight has like left this mountain in between, so we like nearly have to roll uphill to get to each other.
Yeah, we always recommend, like, we are cuddlers, but then we are separate sleepers.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we are not cuddle while we sleep people.
You're not head on the chest people.
I don't understand that. It just gets too there's too much. It gets too blazing hot, man. It's too much.
But you like it. You like
I
it.
I like
hot.
It.
So
to speak. Yeah. Yeah, no. King size bed. I recommend it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So the charm of it all. Steal your
it.
Partner's covers, and we'll be back talking a little bit more about a less charming subject, snoring. And how to manage it. This is Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy with your sex therapist, Lori Watson, and couples therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews. So, Adam, we're going to do a new thing. We are going to offer a link to Patreon on Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy, which is foreplayrst.com, for people who are really interested in helping us develop deeper, you know, more interesting podcasts and also offer resources to them.
Yeah, Patreon is a platform where you can directly support things that you love. We know that several of you have been real supportive of us, and we hope you would consider being financially supportive as well.
Right, because we're running practices and families, and we need time really to do more, something like a webinar. We'd like to do some worksheets for you.
We really want to expand the resources that we can be able to provide
right.
to you as our listeners, dive deeper into the questions you have, offer more practical steps for you to have the best possible relationship.
So we're looking for some patrons. We appreciate already the love, the emails that you send. All of that is great. So if you love listening to us, you can find out how to support us by going to our website, foreplayrst.com. Thank you so much for considering that. We appreciate it.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist, Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido, from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
Hi, I'm Dr. Adam Matthews, and I want to welcome you to Matthews Counseling. At Matthews Counseling, we believe it is our job to come alongside you in whatever difficult challenges of life you are in and help you rediscover hope and to find the strength that you have to face those challenges. We believe in people, specifically that no two people are alike and therefore they need solutions that are unique to them. We strive to create a safe and comfortable place for you to explore who you want to be and identify the obstacles standing in your way. Oftentimes, the first step toward finding help is the hardest, but it can also be the bravest. At MatthewsCounseling.net, we strive to help make the first step easy. There, you will find our blog with some great resources from our therapist. You'll also find a link to our client portal where you can schedule directly with our therapist at your convenience. We offer free 30-minute consultations either in person or over the phone, so the first step is at no cost to you. Give us a call at 919-587-8018 or again, find us online at MatthewsCounseling.net. We look forward to working with you.
Okay, we're back. Full Play Radio Sex Therapy. Stealing the covers and snoring.
Yeah, intimate bedroom behavior, right?
That's yes.
Kind of what we're talking about.
Exactly. I actually found this Instagram post on this group called Marriage 365. Mm-hmm. And I know them. They're Casey and Megan Kasten with Marriage 365. And they have a ton of followers on Instagram and Facebook. And they have this really cool program called Naked Conversations where you subscribe to it. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like Netflix for marriage. Every month they renew this, a new topic. You might even find something by me out there. I don't know. I think I did something with them as well. But and the neat thing is you get to have the library of all their old Netflix for marriage, you know, when you sign up. But basically they are a couple and they're all about creating a community of people who are trying to make their marriages thrive and who are committed. And they personally are sort of known as the couple least likely to survive because they have struggled with so many problems and they're really open and vulnerable about that. And so you can check them out on their website called marriage365.org. And that allows you to kind of get a hold of all their stuff. But they were the Instagram that I found this Stealing the Covers post on. And I realized that you know, why it was so popular, really, I think it had like 4,000 likes, was the intimacy of it all.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk also about the one that is not so intimate, the snoring one.
Yeah.
Do you snore, Adam?
I do not. I do not snore.
Are you sure?
I'm fairly certain that I don't snore.
I think it is like the most embarrassing thing, right, to be told you snore.
Why is that? Why is it so?
Well, it's like you're making these disgusting noises from your nose, right? I mean, somebody might as well say you're picking your nose at night. I mean, there's something really embarrassing about it when you're told you snore.
Do you snore? Do you know if you snore?
I don't think I do.
I
haven't been told much, although, you know, I've been like every once in a while in a van or something, you put your head back and fall asleep and you wake up with a snore or on an airplane. And I know I've done that and I've been just absolutely humiliated.
I know it's horrible. I know I've drooled before when I'm sleeping. I don't know that I've
drooling.
I may have snored
snoring.
When I was sick or something like that. But
so bad.
I know it does seem to be something that is unsexy and we don't want ourselves
it is unsexy
to be
for
seen.
Sure.
To be seen that
as
way,
snorting,
and or that for that to be that side of us to be revealed that we're doing something so unsexy in our sleep. Right?
Exactly.
We want the picture of us asleep to be angelic, like right,
peaceful and pretty,
and everything's perfectly in place, and not like
right. And there's something like even worse, right? As a woman, I think it's so unfeminine to think about if you snore.
Yeah.
But this is a problem for couples.
Yeah.
And really couples of all different ages because while it does sort of tend to happen more as you age, often it happens as you gain weight. And it can be a real health concern because it can be sleep apnea, a sign of sleep apnea where, you know, if you don't get enough oxygen, literally it damages your heart and you can have a heart attack and all that stuff. And so if you are snoring, we urge you to get it looked at medically and not ignore this. But usually what happens is a partner is shoving you in the middle of the night. Stop. Stop. You're waking me up, you know.
It becomes something that's disruptive, right?
It becomes something disruptive.
To that intimate time, the time where you're supposed to be, you know, together and just time where it's supposed to be sleepful and restful.
Yeah.
It becomes interrupting to that.
Right. Especially maybe to the partner who, you know, can't sleep through it. You know, that can be a big problem. And this is often the result of couples stopping to sleep in bed together.
It happened to my grandparents.
Did it?
Yeah, absolutely. They slept in separate rooms for the last half of their marriage because of it. So it is something that can be physically and emotionally separating well, right?
And a big sexual stop. You know, because as I talked about earlier in our podcast, you know, I think some people have the pattern that they initiate. They're just lying in bed and a hand wanders over and, you know, or they snuggle up to each other and suddenly they're doing it.
Right.
And so if they're not in bed together, there's a big reduction in having sex together.
That's right.
Yeah.
So how do you feel like you start to address this issue, especially if it's not one that you've talked about, right? Because it is difficult. It could be difficult for the partner that's being woken up to talk about.
Yeah, right? I think sometimes you want to be sensitive to your partner. Hey, I got something to tell you, but, you know, you're snoring.
Yeah.
Yeah, my husband definitely snores, but it's not a health issue. He had like a deviated septum or something like that, and so he's all
messed up. Is it disruptive? Do you have to wear like earplugs?
Every once in a while, I just like shove him and say, hey, turn over, and then it's fine. But the only time I ever notice it is when I'm still awake reading.
Yeah.
You know, I don't notice it any other time, so it would never wake me up.
Okay.
But we go on retreats, couple retreats with these couples, and I can literally hear one of the men snoring four doors down.
He's
loud. Like a chainsaw. I'm like, and he's a little more worrisome because, you know, he's, you know, got some belly weight and it's a problem. So I think the first thing to think about is how does it impact the couple intimacy? Mm. You know, are you the couple that snuggles together? And, you know, is there any workaround? You know, could you tuck in together and have your snuggle time? And if you're like Adam and his wife, you're going to go off sleep separately anyway, no big deal.
Right.
You know, you just go off and sleep somewhere and maybe somebody, you know, a Saturday morning crawls back in bed or something like that.
Right.
You know, having those workarounds is helpful if you're really going to sleep separately. I also think try to get it fixed.
Yeah, I think getting it tested, making sure you don't have sleep apnea can be deadly. And so
it can be.
You want to make sure that that's not the
cause.
Or
sleep disruption. I mean, even if you're not in the deadly phase, just to the person, if you're snoring, you might not be getting rest.
Yeah.
And so going to those sleep studies and all doing that. Although this is torturous.
Yeah, to me, this is an investment that is worth it.
Yeah.
Because it's so important, not just for
to
individual health,
your energy.
And to your couple health as well. And so it is an investment worth making in getting a sleep study done or just consulting a sleep doctor about what's going on.
And there's workarounds. Like there's doctors, they make these appliances that somehow or another change the way your jaw is. You put it in, it's like a lower retainer or something at night. And you put it in, it changes your jaw, and it kind of opens your throat, apparently. And then you can not snore. And there's this other cool operation that they do. They shave the uvula. Do you know what the uvula is?
Yes, I do.
Sounds like a dirty word, doesn't it?
It does, but it's not. But they shave it. That is interesting.
Yeah, they shave it a little bit. And somehow or another, I think what happens is then it wouldn't touch the back of the throat or something. So, you know, so you wouldn't have air blockage.
I see.
I don't exactly know how it happens, but an ENT guy can evaluate you and tell you whether or not you're eligible for that. And a lot of people find that works great, and that's one good solution. Also, I've heard sewing a tennis ball into the back of a T-shirt because some people only snore on their backs. Mm. And so this just, you know, they start out sleeping and cuddling on their side. But then in the middle of the night, they sleep on their back, and this stops them, obviously, from being able to sleep on your back.
This feels like some kind of
Freaking lump.
This feels like some kind of life hack that you would see in one of those life hack videos that are showing you how to, like, use, like, you know, styrofoam or something or whatever, cereal boxes to make your life better, a tennis ball in the back of a T-shirt.
And I had a pursuing patient tell me, you know, well, I'm doing all these things to research my and figure out my snoring patterns, but has my partner done one thing, you know, like, can't they sleep with earplugs? And it's like, well, yeah, I guess so. I tend to think, though, that if you're the snorer, you're initially really responsible for managing this problem.
Yeah, but I do think there's probably people that have tried to, like, that person just tried to figure out as much as they can about what to do, and it's still just being persistent. And so earplugs, sound machines, different things like that I think could be helpful as well, so that it's not disruptive. But mostly, I think, not seeing it as your partner being rude to disrupt your sleep, and they're not doing it on purpose. So we're not.
Right.
I think that could cause some.
Some mercy.
Yeah, right. Some.
But I think that the issue comes when you keep telling them, you know, hey, you're snoring, it's interrupting me, and the person doesn't take it seriously.
Right.
You know, maybe embarrassed. You know, obviously they don't know they're snoring, right? I mean, that's the problem, is you can't know. You have to be discovered. And I think that's what the embarrassment is there's this a little bit of shame of, oh, I'm doing something gross that I didn't even know and have control over.
Yeah. And I think all of that, just being able to talk about like the intimate personal things that happen in your bed together, being able to talk about those and make and solve any those types of problems. I mean, snoring probably being one of the biggest ones.
Right.
About how you sleep is important, because that's your shared – that is your shared space, your shared dominion, like where it's not mine or yours. It is ours, literally and figuratively as well.
Exactly. Exactly. So stealing the covers, really cute. I will say, you know, we have two quilts on our bed, and I've started to kind of pull one quilt to my side of the bed before we go to sleep.
You don't even do the shared covers thing. It's just
his and hers. I know this is terrible, and this says something about me psychologically, but I really do like my own quilt, you know, so that I can, like, have it all tucked around me.
Yeah.
It's my husband likes to say Lori needs, you know, a ton of alone time. She needs like 8 hours every day when she's asleep.
And that translates into the better. All right.
Yeah, that's when I need it. Yeah,
awesome.
That's when I'm getting my alone time. Okay, well, thanks for listening to 4Play Radio Sex Therapy. Be sure to check out Marriage 365, and thanks for listening. Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take one sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.
All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for therapy by a licensed clinician or as medical advice from a doctor.